Well, good morning. And some of you may not be aware of this, but it is Super Bowl Sunday. And because of that, I went looking on the internet for some football jokes, particular Super Bowl jokes. And David, you're going to have to tell Nora Jean that I did this, because I did this and specifically for her, this particular joke. So, but she's not here, so you don't have to tell her. She can listen to the tape with her grandma. But now this is an old joke. You'll see that when you pick it up. But that after Vikings head coach Denny Green dies and enters the pearly gates, God takes him on a tour. He shows Denny a little two-room bedroom house with a faded Vikings banner hanging from the front porch. "This is your house, Coach. Most people don't get their own houses up here," God says. Coach Denny looks at the house, then turns and looks at the one sitting on top of the hill. It's a huge two-story mansion with white marble columns and little patios under all the windows. Green Bay Packer flags line both sides of the sidewalk, and a huge Packer banner hangs between the marble columns. "Thanks for the house, God, but let me ask you a question. I get this little two-bedroom house with a faded banner, and Mike Holmgren gets a mansion with new Green Bay banners and flags flying all over the place. Why is that?" God looks at him seriously for a moment. "That's not Mike's house," God says. "That's mine." That was for our Packer fan. But truly, we are going to have a little bit of a party today, just impromptu deal to fellowship and enjoy. And we might watch the game if it's interesting, or not. We'll just have an interesting time sharing some fellowship and snacks. That'll be in room one on the other side. And so you say, "Well, I didn't know about that." That's because I didn't decide to do it till yesterday morning, when I realized that the game doesn't start till after the Munger are done with church, and we could actually have something here at the church. Just thought it might be nice. So, nobody's required to attend. Now, we will, those of us who are watching the game, will not be able to attend the 6:30 prayer. However, we will take time for prayer after the game. So, before we leave, we won't just ignore prayer, but so you don't have to do one or the other. You can do both. Okay. That I've been searching as to what I should preach on. After all, the last 2 years almost, I had been preaching, for the most part, out of the Gospel of John. And we worked our way through the entirety of the Gospel. Now, we took side trips here and there as we went. So we didn't spend the full 2 years just on the Gospel of John. But I like to be working my way through a book of the Bible. And it's one of the ways to ensure that we are not just picking and choosing the parts that we're interested in, but God bringing before us the parts that He has prepared for us in His timing. It's kind of amazing the way He does that. There have been times when I've been preaching in a book, and there's been a topic that's come up in that there's no way I would have dared touch it except for the fact it was the next verse, just because of issues that were going on in the church at the time. So I asked the elders and a few people, you know, for some suggestions on some books. And one of the books that came up a few times was the book of Proverbs. And prayer, feel led to start us off here. I'm not sure if we'll, I don't know if we'll do every verse in the book of Proverbs, but we will indeed work our way through the book. And over the course of however long that takes. We may leave it for a while, but we will work our way through it. So if you would, please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1, and we'll look at the first 7 verses, the introduction and theme. Purpose and theme of the book. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Let's pray. Father God, we do come before you this morning, and we give you praise. Lord, we thank you for your blessings which you share with us. Lord, we thank you for the testimonies that we've heard this morning of your blessing in people's lives and the gamut at which that blessing runs. Father, we turn to you for all comfort. And we wait upon you. And Lord, you answer our prayer. And you provide for us that which we need. And those blessings which are indeed beyond our expectations or desires. Father, we come before you this morning seeking to gain wisdom and discernment, to acquire learning and discretion. Father, help us to understand what it is to fear you, that we have that beginning of knowledge, and might our knowledge of you grow. Guide us and direct us as we study your word, Lord. Let your anointing be upon me as I preach your word. Lord, that each of your people here might be encouraged and blessed. Father, that nothing that I say would be contrary to your will or teaching, or bring hurt or harm to any of your children. But instead, Lord, might lift them up and encourage them and instruct them and draw each one closer to you. Father, fill me and fill each one here with your ever-present Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' precious, most holy name. Amen. One of the difficulties with doing Proverbs is that it's a different type of literature than some of the other books. Well, it's actually a quite common form of literature. It's called poetry. Remember, there are some that are narratives or stories, some which are legal documents, some which is prophetic. Some of Scripture is written as poems. Now, this is the type of poem that you and I might remember. How many of you can recite Mary Had a Little Lamb? You know, it rhymes. You know, it has, some of you might know a haiku. You know, I think you got to have five syllables, seven syllables, five syllables, or something like that. We have these different rules for different types of poetry. Well, in the Hebrew style of poetry, it wasn't rhyming that was the key that we think of, or the number of syllables, but it was parallelism that was used. It was paralleling thoughts and ideas. Another style of poetry was that which, which was alliterative. And would also, if you go through, say, Psalms, 119? 118? The big one. 119, yeah. Each verse start, the first letter of the first verse starts the next letter of the alphabet in the Hebrew alphabet. And it goes on like that. Well, in Proverbs, most of it is parallelism. Now there's, I'm going to be kind of dry and teach just a little bit about poetry and parallelism so that we have an understanding and a basis, because we're going to be here for a while and I'm only going to really cover this in depth once. Okay, I'll refer to it later, but hopefully I don't get too many of you nodding off for memorizing the bulletin in the process. There are basic five forms of parallelism. The first one is synonymous parallelism. That means the proverb deals with things that are similar. Remember, most of your proverbs, you got two parts. You go bump, bump. Okay? A good example of a synonymous proverb is chapter 18, verse 7. This one reads, "A fool's mouth is his undoing." That's your first part. "And his lips are a snare to his soul." So it's, both parts are similar, and they just run in parallel. Then we have the antithetical parallelism. These are the opposites. Chapter 12, verse 5 is a good example here. "The plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful." So we have that antithetical parallelism, where things are opposites. Then we have emblematic. That's figurative language. Chapter 10, verse 26. "As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him." The vinegar and the smoke is an emblem, or an emblem is emblematic of the sluggard, what he's like. Okay, so that's that type of parallelism. Another type is synthetic parallelism. Now, synthetic parallelism, that's where the second line amplifies the first. Kind of builds one upon the other. Use an example, that will be chapter 16, verse 4. It said, "The Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked for a day of disaster." And then our last form of parallelism is formal. Now, formal parallelism kind of fills it out or completes the thought. Chapter 16, verse 7. And it does this one. It says, "When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him." So these are the types of parallelism that we find. We find that Proverbs are didactic. That means that they're intended for teaching. And these are like memory things. These things laid together like this, these parallelisms, they help us to remember the lessons that are being taught. Because the whole purpose of Proverbs is to teach us. They teach us general lessons. They're not formulas for a perfect life. Proverbs are general truths, but the values and theology of these are that Proverbs, they focus on the individual more than on the corporate body. This is, Proverbs pretty much speaks to each of us individually. They're applicable to each and every one of us. If you have experience which is normal to humankind, which all of you do, pretty sure anybody here not humankind is. I got one smile out of that. Okay. Everybody's here We're all people. So it's applicable. The lessons to be learned. It's based on respect for authority, traditional values, wisdom of mature teachers. Remember, the ultimate authority is indeed God. The ultimate in traditional values are the ones which God has given us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength. And then the wisdom of mature teachers. Indeed, the most mature teacher is the Lord. And it's mentally practical. It's sound advice and warnings. It's not something which is esoteric thought. How many angels can dance on the head of a pin? This was a big theological debate in the time of St. Thomas Aquinas. Now, you won't find anything about that in Proverbs. You won't find that type of theological question which has no real relevance to everyday life. Proverbs is, to use one phrase, earthy. This is something which each one of us can look at and find general rules for how to live our lives on a daily basis. These lessons are, we learned, they're things that appear. There's seven different ways that these lessons are drawn. Some that appear different but are similar. There are things that seem the same yet are different. I'm not going to give you examples of each of these, but things which are, and there are lessons that we learn from things which are indeed similar, and things which are absurd or futile. There are sayings which classify types of people. There are sayings which indicate the relative value of things. And there are also sayings which set forth consequences of our actions. These are the different ways which we are instructed here in Proverbs. Again, as a general rule. I wrote my own proverb to give you an idea of how Proverbs... I don't know if it's a good proverb or bad, but I wrote one. It's short. It's not as good as Phyllis's writing this morning by any means, but it certainly, hopefully, will give you an idea of the type of truth that we're going to find in Proverbs. Here it is. It says, change your oil and maintain your car, and your journey shall be free of mechanical problems. Basically, is it possible if you change your oil and maintain your car that you could have a mechanical breakdown? Yes, it is. However, if you don't change the oil or do maintenance on your car, you can be just about assured of the fact that you will eventually have a mechanical breakdown. And you will have them much more often than the person who doesn't, or who does the mechanical maintenance, who does the changing of their oil and takes care of their vehicle properly. And that's the way it is with our lives with Proverbs. These are lessons which we learn don't assure us of not having any difficulties. These are lessons which, most of the time, this is going to get you the best result. Sometimes there's nothing that will prevent an unhappy result. You need to understand that. There are sometimes, some instances where that unhappy result cannot be avoided. But by following the lessons we learn in Proverbs, we can steer through the majority of those minds that are there to try to disrupt our lives. It gives us the best path. Sometimes conflict, troubles, difficulties cannot, and sometimes it's even best not to avoid them. But sometimes they have to be dealt with. But those unnecessary issues and troubles, trust, how many of us really need to stop and change a flat tire on the way to work every morning? That's really what we need to do. No. But if we have bad tires, and we don't change them, we know that's going to be our lot in life. Well, this is what Proverbs is. It is indeed deeply spiritual because it is built upon the assumption of the what is actually referred to in some commentaries as the motto of Proverbs, which is chapter 1, verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." The fear of the Lord is the basis, is the start of all the teachings of Proverbs. So we're going to go now, we're going to kind of jump in and look at these first seven verses and just see what the Lord has for us here. Our first verse is indeed the title. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. These are his. He wrote them and or he collected them. But he put them together under the guidance and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He compiled them and he put his name to them. And he said, these are proverbs. That is sayings that you can learn from. Now, one of the interesting things that I found, and I was just like, there's nothing spiritual to this or theological, I think. This is just me. But the Hebrew word for proverb is spelled and sounds similar to missile. And a proverb is a pointed saying which kind of gets the point and teaches you something. So that was me. I saw it. It's a missile and a proverb. You know, proverb just kind of boom, zeroes in. These proverbs are sayings, missiles, that King Solomon put together. For what purpose? Well, the purpose is explained verses 2 through 6. It says, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables and sayings and riddles of the wise. So basically we have the attaining of wisdom and discipline and for gaining of understanding of proverbs and parables so that we can understand these riddles and sayings that are given to us. That's the purpose behind this. And to help us to learn how to live better lives. Learn how to walk closer with God. And that is found, how to walk closer. And true understanding and the beginning of learning starts with the fear of the Lord. Now that's one of the phrases that a lot of people have trouble with. Some people have this picture of God as an angry God. Fear of the Lord means you better hide, God's out to get you. Other people have this picture of God as a loving God. He's all kind and fuzzy. And He wouldn't hurt you. In fact, He'll do absolutely everything He can to please you. Well, neither one of these pictures is really right. In fact, they're both wrong. Because they are only of a single facet of God. The interesting thing about the Hebrew word fear that is used here is that it has double meaning and the meanings are kind of almost opposites. Or at least there's some stark differences between them. The fear means, on the one hand, it means awe and reverence. Just awe and reverence. On the other hand, it also means dread and trepidation, fear. The word that we've translated fear here means dread and trepidation balanced with awe and reverence. Balanced with awe and reverence. It's not all one, all the other, but these two in balance. I don't know about you and your parents. My parents, they're not perfect. You might have the perfect parents. You may be the perfect parent. I'm not. My father is not the perfect father. However, I will say that he loves me and I love him. And I do indeed have fear, especially as growing up, I had fear of my father in the biblical sense. There was a sense of awe, and there was a sense of trepidation and dread. On the one hand, I wanted to be with him. I looked up to him. What he did, I wanted to be like him. Got pictures of me. Dad had a great t-shirt. I had a great t-shirt. Wore my jean. Well, my Uncle Bruce, my godfather called Bruce, my dad and I, all three of us stand there with gray t-shirts, saggy jeans. They're all drinking a beer, but I'm drinking a Pepsi. I wanted to be like him. I wanted to do that. But I also had fear and trepidation. One of my less brilliant things that I did one time was I had taken my father's golf clubs out and playing with them in the backyard, which, you know, first off, I'm not supposed to touch his golf clubs. But I was out in the back trying to be like him, yeah, right? And playing with his golf clubs. And I was new to the game of golf, and my friend, buddy, was with me, and he's standing behind me, and I nailed him off the backswing. I laid his forehead wide open. First thing I was concerned about, did I get blood on the clubs? My friend, he had a hard head. You know, I knew he... But, you know, we got him home. They took him to the emergency room. They stitched him up. And my mother said, well, you'll just have to deal with your father when he gets home. Oh, no, can you just beat me now and be done with it? Do I need to deal with my father? The fear and the trepidation was there. Now, he was also a merciful and loving father. I didn't even let him get out of the car. And I was there. And he, being a reasonable man, said he was more concerned about my friend than his club. I said, and I didn't get any blood on the clubs. And I'm like, I'm concerned about the clubs, and he's concerned about that which is truly of importance. My friend, is he okay? Yeah, he is. Did you learn your lesson? Uh-huh. Okay, this is to be our fear of the Lord. This awe, this reverence for God. Balanced with the fear and trepidation of not wanting to do that which will bring His displeasure, which will require Him to bring His judgment. I knew my action would require my father to bring punishment. Now, it turned out to be not what I thought it would be, but there was still judgment. This is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. That is, those who are thick-headed, those who are slow to understand, those who don't care about consequences. These are the words that you could use to define fool here. They despise wisdom and discipline. So we see that Proverbs, it's built upon fear of the Lord, and it gives us lessons which we can apply to our day-to-day lives. This isn't something which we have to set aside and say, someday I hope I can use this lesson. You know, maybe you've done a Bible study or you've talked about a particular topic and say, you know, I don't know when I'm going to talk about that, but someday I might get opportunity to use that. For example, talking about the cherubim in heaven. And for, you know, what exactly they look like. I've seen people do Bible studies on what they look like. Well, that's really interesting. It can be really fun and exciting, but what use of is it to your daily life? Not much. This is earthy. This is something where we can apply to our daily lives. And the start of this is the fear of the Lord. We take these poems, these parallel phrases, which are given for our instruction, and we apply them to our lives so that we can steer a better course. Because this is one of the blessings which our Lord, our loving Father, has given to us. It's a tool He's given us to get through the day-to-day grind of life. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for these lessons, these proverbs, these sayings by which You give us instruction, by which we learn how we can live better, how we can walk closer to You, how we can be more disciplined, how we can grow in knowledge and wisdom. Father, help us as we read through Proverbs, as we study here, to begin with the fear of You. And build within each of us a hunger for the knowledge of You and Your will. We pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The ushers will come forward. We're